we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back, as we welcome in a new month, Sean Latch, who is here from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium. Welcome back.
Great to be back.
Good to have you in studio again. You've been doing some traveling. You got to Vermont, got to Chicago since we talked with you last. I've been nowhere.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, trying to get out a little bit here, doing a little bit of, weekend travel and things like that. So it's been good.
Well, excellent. Well, a new month means a great new programs up at the center, and including the Friday feature, which is a show called Astronaut. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a fun program where you get to experience what it's like to be an astronaut. And we basically let you experience taking off and what spaceflight would be like from inside the human body, and some of the dangers of space and things like that. So it's a really fun program. We also will be highlighting, of course, some of our main astronauts. As you know, Chris Cassidy just retired from the NASA Astronaut Corps. Right. And Jessica Meir is slated to be, hopefully, the first woman to go to the moon. We're keeping our fingers crossed. Yeah. Of course, she's been chosen for that Artemis mission, so still hoping she might be the first one to walk on the moon. So, but it's a fun program that looks at, space flight and basically what effects it has on the human body and some of the things that we know about that in a really cool way.
What are some of the effects? And we know prolonged space flight can have an effect on things like bone density.
Yeah, one of the things, of course, is, astronauts have to work out in space and have specially designed equipment, because if you're in a microgravity environment, your bones can get weak. And of course, the calcium can leach out of them and things like that. And that creates other problems, and both in terms of your bone strength, but your muscles can atrophy away. So it is really one of those things that, astronauts typically have to work out for about an hour or a couple hours a day, using the special machines to keep them fit so that when they come back to Earth. There was a time in the early days when we didn't understand that. We'd send people up, they'd come back, they'd be a little bit wobbly, and stuff like that. So after they had been up for, like a few months or whatever. So we, now, of course, astronauts work out, things like that. But there's a number of dangers in space. I mean, you think of everything from solar radiation in terms of if there's a solar flare or something like that, where it can release, particles that can be dangerous. So it is one of those things that space flight, along with, the vacuum of space and having to make sure that you have a spacesuit that's not leaking and all of those things. So it's a whole variety of different things.
Excellent. Well, that's every Friday night here in the month of July. On Sunday afternoons for the kids, well, it's polar bears and penguins together.
Yeah, James and Vladimir are our two friendly friends. James the penguin and Vladimir the polar bear, and they go on a little journey to explore why the length of day and night changes at the poles. And of course, a little bit of polar ice. And ice in our solar system in general, which is it's a really fun program for kids. They're great characters. In fact, we have a show with them also called Lucia and the Secret of Shooting Stars that feature those two characters as well. So it's a great family program.
And also for kids, you've got some great summer matinees coming up at the planetarium Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays at 2:00, and a great and wide array of offerings here.
Yeah, during the summer months, we always like to do a rotation, so we have different shows every day. Tomorrow we'll be having Secret of the Cardboard Rocket at 2:00 as well, which takes a look at the planets in our solar system. But yeah, we change up the schedule so that every matinee day is a different show, if you will. It gives folks a chance to, see a variety of different shows and also catch up if they've missed some over the different times and months and things like that. So it's a lot of fun for the kids and families.
And this month's music show features the music of U2.
Yeah, U2, of course, a really classic band, and we're looking forward to having them back in the dome, at least, in using our music programming. So that'll be a lot of fun, and music programming has been one of those things that we started up about 2 years ago now. Hard to believe it's been that much time, but we've really enjoyed getting the shows in and having fun with them.
We're talking with Sean Latch here from the Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Up in the skies, we were talking about before we went on this afternoon, a very interesting event coming up in mid-month involving the Moon, Mars, and Venus.
Yeah, so right now Venus and Mars are in your evening sky in the southwest, and over the next several days they're going to be moving closer and closer together. Venus is getting higher, Mars is getting lower, and on the 12th they're going to be about a half a degree apart, which is basically the distance of a full moon or so. And as we go, you know, move towards that time period, the moon will be heading, right now we have sort of a waning crescent moon right now, but you know, around the time that is happening, the moon's going to be joining back in that area of the sky, so you'll start to have a sort of a thin waxing crescent by that time period. So it'll be a really nice gathering to look for.
Excellent. And if you're an early riser, you might be able to catch Mercury this month.
That's true. Mercury is up just before the sun, low in the east southeast. And also, if you're up, you know, not too late, but till around midnight, by midnight, you'll have Jupiter and Saturn in your night sky. So really, this month, a great chance to catch all of those planets that are there. And Jupiter and Saturn, of course, very bright and easy to spot, and they'll be visible, you know, all the way through the, you know, like I said, starting around 11:30 midnight, you'll start to see them, and they'll be visible all the way to sunrise.
And what is, can you tell me about the, if I hope I pronounce it right, the Seeliger effect?
The Seeliger effect.
I'm reading about it here, that Saturn is approaching opposition. Rings will brighten at the end of the month due to the Seeliger effect.
Yes. Yeah, so basically, when planets reach opposition, they're directly opposite the sun. And of course, that means they'll be visible from sunset all the way to sunrise. So we're going to be, you know, Saturn's going to be starting to get visible, you know, shortly after sunset here towards the end of the month. But yeah, those rings, of course, reflect light from the sun, and they're made of ice. And the Seeliger effect is one when the rings are tilted in the right way and you get quite a bit of extra light. So it's a really great chance to look at Saturn and see those rings in all their glory. Now, you do need a telescope minimally about 2 inches or so in diameter to see the rings of Saturn. But again, it is one of those things that is pretty easy for, you know, most small telescopes.
Now, around here in the Bangor area, within, let's say, an hour or so's drive, where are a couple of really good places to go where you're not going to get much light pollution, where you got a chance to actually see the nighttime sky?
Yeah, I mean, Bangor has, you know, even though we, you know, we do have a number of lights here in the city, we do have a reasonably good view compared to most places in the U.S., I must say. But if you want really dark skies, one place that's relatively close, of course, is Hirundo Nature Preserve up in Old Town area. I actually did a star party with them, or a sky tour with them, this past winter, and really, you know, beautiful skies out there. So that's one place that's really close. Katahdin Woods and Waters a little farther out, but they are actually were designated as an International Dark Sky Preserve in May of 2020.
Oh, great.
So just been over a year, and so that's a really great dark sky site. Dark sky site. Acadia is another one. You know, there's some really beautiful skies out in Acadia too. Basically, you just want to get out. Even the countryside, you know, nearby, as long as you can get out from the bright city lights, you'll have a good view. And right now, summer is the best time of year to see the Milky Way. So if you want to catch the Milky Way, and, you know, actually the next week or so too, when the moon is, you know, in the early morning sky, great time to catch the Milky Way, because you'll have nice dark skies to see it too.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate it. As always, Sean, good to see you again. Thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll look forward to seeing you sometime in late July or early August.
Sounds great.
Sean Latch from the Versenpower Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine.